joy. It's a joy to be here at church and sharing the pulpit with Pastor Doug today. And to think on this Lord's Day that I had the privilege to watch the baptism of Cece and to just share it with Jessica and Ricky and their grandparents who are all here and aunts and uncles. Many of you don't know this, but Ricky was in my youth group. And so he was part of my youth group for many years, and I won't tell you all the stories about him. But it's so nice to be celebrating the baptism of their daughter. And it really does bring me tears to think that, you know, I'm sharing this special day. When Pastor Doug told me about it, I said, oh, I've got to come up. I've got to be part of that. So congratulations to you all and to the grandparents, Fran and Frank and Sue and Rick and the aunts, uncles, and the nieces and nephews. It's a great day, so treasure it. It's a beautiful day out, and just treasure it. I begin our message today by sharing with you one of my favorite of all-time Bible verses, and that is in Matthew 19:14. And it says, but Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. I immediately think of the Cece's in our life. I picture Jesus welcoming them with open arms, with compassion and kindness and love. But when Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, he said those words during a very difficult, challenging, and chaotic time. Jesus had been preaching, and he was being followed by large crowds at that moment. And even though he was healing and he was doing miracles all around, the Pharisees were there also trying to trick him, asking him questions so that maybe they could get him in one way or another. So picture that scene if you can. Picture that scene. And the temple leaders were trying to really, not only trick him, but the disciples were trying to control the crowds. They were trying to do all that, and they were also feeling very, very challenged at the time. And then the parents decide they're going to bring the children to Jesus. They're going to bring them and ask Jesus if he'll lay his hand on them and pray for them. And overwhelmed by the crowd, the disciples began to scold. Imagine, scold the parents for bothering Jesus in such a manner. And with all that chaos, then he told his disciples right then and there, let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those that are like these children. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those that are like these children. In the eyes of Jesus, what makes a child so different than us as adults? Why does the kingdom belong to them? Think about that. Why didn't Jesus say the kingdom belongs to the righteous or the faithful or the brave or the kind? He said the kingdom belongs to those who are like these children, are like those little children. Think about what that might mean. Why? Maybe it's because of their natural ability to trust that radiates through them. A baby just trusts and radiates because of that. Maybe it's their genuine faith and their belief in others. Maybe it is that they know how to depend on other people and not necessarily on themselves. Maybe it's because their desire to bring joy with them wherever they go. Babies bring joy. You do know that, right? They make you smile automatically. And they find joy in the smallest things. Is it their innocence in believing in what is good? Is it love that knows no boundaries or fears? Is that why Jesus said that? Tonight, Jack and I are going to be flying to Florida at 8:30 tonight to spend a few days with Jenna and Will in our Abbey. One of my favorite things when I see Abby is she comes running, Grammy, and she hugs me, and she doesn't want to let me go. In fact, she's going to wait for us, she said, going to try to stay up till like 1 o'clock. But make sure, Grammy, if I don't, that you wake me up right away. Don't worry, the dog will wake them all up. But she is kind and trustworthy and has genuine faith, my Abby. She's being raised in two different faiths. And she's got the love of Jesus shining through her. She loves to laugh. And she continues to have the innocence of a child and believes with great love. When I see her interact with her world, it's no wonder the Lord told us that the kingdom belongs to those that are like these children, our CCs and our Abbeys and countless others need us and his church to not only show the way and welcome them, but also to show us what really matters in life. Trust, compassion, love, joy, service, as we all grow closer to him. Most of you know my heart has always been with the children and youth of the world. That's my heart. Some of my greatest privileges in my life have been dedicating our babies, like your baptism, or baptism with immersion, to your confirmation. Weddings that I've been to, teaching Sunday school, vacation Bible school, all those. Youth retreats. Oh, we could talk a lot about them, can't we, Ricky? And many mission trips. Many mission trips. I went on 17 mission trips. Slept on that wonderful floor in the school. Still remember that to this day. But to watch a small child grow into an adult and see how they now walk with Jesus are all the ways I have changed over the years. That's where I have changed, watching them. And yes, it's because of these experiences, because now I'm a senior, my trust in Jesus has grown. I see him more in the simple things of life each day. I want to bring joy and be filled with his joy, just like a child now, more and more. And I continue to replace fear with assurance. I know he has a plan for me. I know he has a plan for you. And it's okay if we can't see it, friends. He has a great plan also for this, his church, here at Wayne Presbyterian, and the church throughout the world. But we need those children. We need those children to show us. Jesus welcomes us now to trust like a small child, not fearing the unknown, not being afraid of change, or stepping out in new ways, but to run into his arms. Run into his arms, knowing there we will find a safe place to dwell. And that we then can see what truth is and what's noble and right and pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. For if we are to have the heart of a child, we are promised that the Lord will give us a new heart and a new spirit. God says that he will remove our heart of stone and instead give us a heart of flesh. A heart of stone is stubborn, friends. It's rigid. It's cold. It is completely insensitive to conviction or empathy. It's a heart that is dead and unresponsive. A heart of flesh, on the other hand, is responsive. It's soft, teachable, sensitive to compassion and consensus. A heart of flesh embraces change and remains spiritually alive and vibrant. So the question I have for you this morning is, are you ready? Who among us is willing to let God remove a heart of stone and in its place put a heart of flesh? Are you willing for God to put a new spirit in you and a new heart in you like a child? Today's song is sung by the same group that last week's song was. The song is A New Thing Coming by Elevation Worship. And as Pastor Doug mentioned last week, the heart of this worship band is to help people who are far away from God draw closer to Him. So here now is A New Thing Coming.
Just believe me when I you guys don't know this because I've never shared it before, but for the better part of the last year, I have been praying for us as a church to experience spiritual renewal. What started for me as a conversation with my life coach, Robert, last year, turned into me praying for us to experience God's renewal in all of our lives. I've been praying for God to do a new thing in this congregation. I've been praying for God. I've been saying, God, would you raise up new leadership? God, would you raise up new ideas for us? Would you raise up an opportunity for us to be creative in the way in which we approach how we do what we do? Lord, I'd love to take our 60-plus years of experience, and I would love to match it up with who we are today, and I'd love to go into the future with something new that you are going to do as you direct us to the future. This is what I have been saying and doing for the last several months. You know, at a big picture level, I think if we took a step back, it's really important for us to kind of understand the landscape of where we are today, both as a church locally and as well as the church larger. Every year, the PCUSA, the Presbyterian Church, is shrinking. This has been going on since the early 90s. Every year, we continue to get smaller and smaller and smaller as a denomination. Locally, right here in Wayne, while I think we are fun, and I think that we have a lot of good times together, I think that we have a lot to offer other people, the word doesn't seem to get out. It's not seeming to get outside of our local community. Our resources, as you all know, are dwindling as a church and as a congregation. Our expenses are not covering our income is not covering our expenses month after month. And that's a problem, right? Our expenses are not covering, our income is not being covered by, our income is not covering our expenses, and that is a problem. You know, but to be fair, we're not alone in this situation. There are lots of churches, many, many churches are asking the same exact questions that we're asking. Lots of people are asking the questions, what lies ahead, and how are we going to find a way to do a new thing in God's church together? If we want to be a part of what God's doing in the future, what do we need to do, God, so that we can be here to do that? Currently, I'm finishing up a book, and the title of the book is Start With Why by Simon Sinek. It's a really good book if anyone's looking for a good read. It's more of a business-type book, but Start With Why. And the premise of the book is very simple. If you don't know why you do something, you're not going to survive long term. You have to know your why. And so if I asked you, church, why do we exist? What would you say? If I said, why does Wayne Presbyterian Church exist? How would you answer that question? And I know, some of you are going to the Sunday school answer, Jesus. Okay, that's the easy answer. I'm looking for us to go a little bit deeper, right? Why do we exist as a church? Our answer to why defines what we do and how we do it. And if we don't have a solid answer for the answer to why we exist, then we're going to be in trouble. This past week, a friend of mine lost his sister. His sister died. And so I went to the wake, and I saw some of my friends who I hadn't seen in a long time, because we kind of left different parts of our lives and moved on. But as we were catching up, one of my friends, her name is Lisa, she asked me, so how are things going at the church? How are things going? I said, you know, they're pretty good, actually. You know, right now, you know, we're currently, as a church, discussing what the future of our church looks like. And we're actually in a pretty decent place in the sense that we've been seeing an increase in members over the last year. Like certainly since COVID, I said over last year, I'd say we have about 10 more people in the worship service than we did this time last year. We're seeing more families involved in the life of our church, which is great. Our membership still remains under 100, but that's kind of like everybody else, right? It's pretty average in the country. And Lisa said to me, she said, yeah, it sounds like you're facing what everybody else is facing. And I said, yeah, that's true. I said, it's true, but here's the thing. There's something special about this community. There's something very special about our church. We genuinely like to see each other on Sunday. That's my feel. My feel is that we genuinely like to come to church on Sunday and be together. I said we genuinely like to spend time with one another. In a world that is increasingly isolated, we're trying to double down on our community. As a congregation, we're doubling down on the community that we have found here, and we're trying to find ways to share what we have found with other people. Our why is the belief that no one needs to do life alone. There is no one who needs to do life alone. Our why is the belief that no one needs to do life alone, and we have a community here that will walk with you through the highs, celebrating baptisms, and the lows of your life. Lisa liked that answer. The reason our church exists is to let people know that we understand that the world is overwhelming. It is overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be that way. And we're inviting you. If you're out there and it's cold and it's hard and it's scary, we invite you to find the joy and the fun and the hope and the faith and the love that we have found in Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. We want to invite you into that. That's our why. That's our why. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, we come to a story about Jesus in his early days of ministry. And he was with his disciples. He was calling his disciples to join this thing that he was doing. He was calling them by name. And then he shared his why with them. He invited his disciples to follow him. And then he set out and he began to heal the sick. And he began to show people love, and he shared with people about the kingdom of God. That was Jesus' why, to share the kingdom of God with the world. And at one point, we come to this moment where there was a challenge, because Jesus was preaching these things that were different from what anybody had ever heard before in the past. And there were these new things. Jesus was doing a new thing that they weren't really certain about. They didn't know what to do with him. And this is how Jesus responded to them when there was this tension. He said, then Jesus gave this illustration. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. Go on. Not responding? Oh, for then the new garment would be ruined and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. Thank you. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. Jesus used the story of the patch of garment and the new wineskins. He used these stories to explain his why. Jesus had come to make all things new. The old was passing away, and here was this new thing that Jesus was doing. His story of the old and the new wineskins showed those listening that his teachings that he was talking about couldn't fit into the old. It couldn't fit into the old, rigid traditions of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It didn't work. When the new wine ferments, this is the reason why it doesn't work, when new wine ferments, it bubbles. And it expands, which would burst the old leather bags because they've lost their stretch over time. In the same way, Jesus' message, his new message, was too fresh and it was too powerful for the old religious rules. So Jesus was telling them, hey guys, it's time to move into the new thing that I am doing. As a church, we are at the same kind of a point in our life. It's a time for us to move into the new thing that God is doing. After the service today, I've already told you, the session is going to share with you about a renewal plan, a thing that we think God is doing, a vision for our future. It's something that we are so excited about because we've been seeing God's hand clarify our why as a church. For more than a year, your leadership teams have been praying, seeking, and asking God to direct us into whatever direction God wants us to go. We've been saying, God, please lead us to whatever the future is that would honor you the most. Wherever we can go as a church, that's what we want you to do for us. But long before we've been praying these prayers, we've been asking God to guide our steps. In fact, I went back in my mind to 2014. The leaders at that time, the session at that time, and maybe the deacons too, the leadership team at that time read a book called Sailboat Church. Some of you might have read that with me, Sailboat Church. The author of the book, her name was Joan Gray, and she said there are two kinds of churches in the world. There's rowboat churches and sailboat churches. In a rowboat church, the people exhaust themselves trying to row their way into their future. They fight the currents. They fight the winds. They exert all kinds of energy going where they think that they should go and where they think they need to go. A rowing church is a church that says, I'm in control. We're going to get the job done our way. And then when we reach the point where we can't row anymore, we are faced with a choice in a rowboat church. One option is to give up. Some congregations simply run out of people, they run out of money and energy, and they just close their doors. They row to the very end, and they stop. Others take what they have, and they just spread it as thinly as possible. They spread it out, and thin, and thin, and thin, and thin, until it all runs out. But either way, the rowing stops because we run out of energy, we run out of time, and we run out of resources. A sailboat church, however, is different. A sailboat church sets its sails and enjoys the fresh wind that is being blown by the Holy Spirit of God. It allows the Spirit of God to blow us into his future. A sailboat congregation is similar in that when they face a time where they're facing meager resources and low energy, they decide to do church a different way. Instead of rowing, they begin to sail. Sailboat churches know that they can't make the wind blow. That's not their job. But they can realize that they can tap into the spiritual resources beyond themselves by reorienting their efforts and catching the wind of the Holy Spirit. Sailboat churches know that when God becomes the chief guide and power source of our lives and of all of our ministries, the unthinkable moves into the realm of the possible. We've been trying to learn how to live as a sailboat church ever since the day we read that book together. We've been trying to shift from being a rowboat to a sailboat church. We believe that God is doing a new thing right now in our church, and we want to go where God is going. This is what we're going to talk about after the service today. Now, when Jesus was talking to his disciples about the new wineskins, he also explained to them that naturally people resist change because they are used to their old ways. In that whole illustration of old wineskins and new wineskins, he's talking about you don't put the new stuff into the old, but people want to do that. We want to put stuff into the old. We want to use the old as much as possible. We don't want to have to move to new if we don't have to. God knows that we humans are often clingy to our comfortable, familiar habits, even when something new and possibly better comes along. He knows that about us. And this is why I like the song that we just shared with you today from Elevation Worship about a new thing coming. It is a reminder to me and hopefully to you that God is constantly working. We may not be able to always see what God is doing, but we trust that God is moving beyond our old wineskins to exceed our expectations. The song focuses on spiritual revival, not just in a church, but in our own lives. In our own lives, breaking through strongholds, walking in radical faith over fear. It serves as a high energy declaration, challenging us to speak directly to the giants and to the mountains that we have in our lives. We can speak directly to them and to say, get out of here. Get out of here. While we eagerly await the abundance of rain that symbolizes God's outpouring of hope and life and love and creativity and energy. God is always at work in our lives, and we can trust him with our futures. As Jane said, both individually as well as corporately, we can trust our God. A few moments ago, Jane shared with us as she opened the sermon today. She said, Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. We are invited to come to Jesus as his children. But then in the same vein, we then turn and we share our why with others. Our why is that we can then turn and invite all these other people to join us as well, because Jesus doesn't stop any of his children from coming to him. If we have the heart of a child, we are promised that the Lord will give us a new heart and he will put a new spirit in us. God says that he will remove our stubborn, rigid, cold hearts of stone and instead give us soft, teachable, responsive hearts of flesh. Jane asked the question earlier, and I'm going to ask it of you again. Are you ready for this? Are we ready for something new? Who among us is willing to let God remove any hearts of stone in us and replace it with a heart of flesh? Are you willing for God to put a new spirit and a new heart in you? Are we ready to be open to the blowing of God's spirit and follow wherever God leads us? I hope so. I hope so, because I can't wait to see the journey that God has for us. I can't wait to see where it's going to go. I don't know what it looks like. I don't. But I can't wait to see what God has marked out for us on this journey. May God give us the ability to share always, to always share with the world for years and years to come, the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love that we have found, in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are always doing new things in our lives. Lord, you never let us just settle and be comfortable in our faith, that you are always trying to help us to grow closer and closer with you. God, we pray that in our discomfort that you would also raise up for us a sense of your presence, that we would increasingly trust you as you are blowing your Holy Spirit into our lives, Lord, and that we would set our sails and that we would catch that wind and we would go wherever you are leading us. May that be true of us as a church. May that be true of us individually all of our days. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.